Announcing the newest wireless device that makes presidential communication safe and secure. It's the new BarackBerry.
I can't believe how great this is. I can take and send pictures, email, and download nuclear codes.
At only $3,000, the new BarackBerry is affordable and Secret Service approved.
I can even watch videos. Look at this one of Joe Biden. Drone.
The villages.
OMG. WTF.
Change to a wireless device you can believe in. The new BarackBerry. May not work well outside the Oval Office. This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
The rest of us can't tell whether you're bellowing at a coworker or at your imaginary friend. But there's one thing we can tell. Your incredibly inflated sense of self-importance.
That's right, you're the only one that matters.
When we see that stupid wireless set strapped to your head, we wish it did have a wire so we could strangle you with it and get some peace.
That would make a nice ringtone.
Call someone who gives a crap.
Like some other idiot with a Bluetooth, yeah.
So the next time you're frightened by the sound of someone having a loud, one-sided conversation, don't worry. Most likely, it's an escaped mental patient. Or worse, it could be Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User, a real American hero.
Mr. Annoying Bluetooth Headset User.
I really gotta get me one of those.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, March 16th.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Well, lay it on me, Sam. Come on, I'd do it.
That's okay. Well, we're starting a little bit late today, but we're going to call our guest in a couple of minutes. We've got a great guest today. We're going to be talking about Mary Magdalene.
Oh,
right?
Great. Okay.
Subject close to your heart, probably.
I can't say I go to bed. I can't. Oh, yeah, I do love the Bible. Can't say I go to bed thinking about Mary Magdalene.
Right.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, have you ever read the book, The Da Vinci Code?
I'm familiar with it. I've not read the whole thing.
Yeah,
though.
You never read that. That was.
No, you never read it. You don't know it. You never read it. You're funny.
So that was the.
Let me guess. This is another one of those. Mary Magdalene was a whore of Jesus, and she's like, you know.
No, not a whore. Not a whore.
His wife or something, and they had a secret love affair, and they were.
Right. Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
So you don't subscribe to that, but.
No, but that's
we'll
cool.
Call.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to be calling Dan Brown, and he's in London. So let's try and get him on the line here. They came out with a film, and I didn't get a chance to look at the film because they haven't sent it yet. But
what's the name of the film?
Why is it saying invalid phone number? Okay, I know what's happening here. Hold on a second. Yeah, because we are calling London, ladies and gentlemen.
I like London.
Have you been to London?
No.
No. You know what's funny on your voicemail? You do an English accent.
I do for fun.
Isn't that funny?
Hello there.
Yes, good morning. Dan Green, good morning to you.
Good morning,
Dan.
Oh,
good morning to you, and greetings from the city of Lincoln.
Thank you. Yeah, it's actually good evening to you, right? It's nighttime where you are.
Well, it's actually just after 4:30.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's still... Still early.
It's still quite light, yeah.
I see. Okay. So you're in Lincoln, England. Where is that?
It's in the middle of England. It's not the north, not the south. It's right in the middle.
I see.
What we call the Midlands.
Is that a pretty big town or a smaller one? Dan?
Yes?
Yes. Is Lincoln, is that a big kind of town, small kind of town?
Yes, I guess. Even by British standards, it's not all that big. A population of maybe 180,000, maybe.
I see. Okay, so it's a pretty small place. And it sounds like fun. It sounds like You know, I've been to England a couple times, and I know there's great, great areas there where you can really enjoy the nature and, you know, and life
it's
there.
It's very flat countryside in Lincolnshire.
Very flat, I see. Okay.
Have you been to California?
I'm afraid I've only been to Boston twice, I think, in your great country.
I see, okay. Quite different from L.A.,
yeah,
but nevertheless
different.
A beautiful place. So, Dan, you produced a movie. You're the producer, right? Are you the producer of the film, The Murder of Mary Magdalene?
A chap called Philip Gardner's the producer. It was based on some books that I wrote, and all the research is mine. It's a movie documentary.
Okay.
Cool.
And so how did you come up with the concept? Is this something that has interested you for a long time?
Well, I initially got involved in this as far back as 1985, mm-hmm. when the what was about to become the global mystery of Rennes Le Chateau mm-hmm. was just about to take the world stage. And this, of course, is the storyline that influenced Dan Brown so much.
Right, in the
as well as the million-selling book Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which caused quite a lot of controversy at the time, 1982.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that came out before Dan Brown's book.
Yes, Dan Brown was heavily inspired, so much so that two of the three authors of the original book took Dan Brown and Random House to court in London last year, it was.
Wow. So
plagiarism.
Yeah. So he sort of like brought it into mainstream, but you're saying that this topic has been discussed for many, many years before that.
It has done, yes. In 1982, it highlighted the small village in the south of France called Rennes Le Chateau, where a parish priest during the 1890s had suddenly and mysteriously came in possession of some secret that made him absolutely wealthy.
Right.
And nobody, even to this day, are certain exactly what the secret was, but it seemed to have a very controversial religious nature.
Was it eBay?
Involving Mary Magdalene.
Yes. So the name of the film is The Murder of Mary Magdalene, Genocide of the Holy Bloodline. Now, this is a pretty strong title. Can you explain a little bit about the gist of the movie? What is it about?
Right, well, I kind of picked up the gauntlet that was thrown down by the Mystery of Rennes Le Chateau, which started in the 70s, was picked up by the Holy Blood and the Holy Grail authors in the 80s, and was popularized by Dan Brown, albeit we understand as mainly fiction.
Right.
Now, the hypothesis throughout, the thread throughout all these stop-offs, is that Jesus Christ actually sired a child with Mary Magdalene, who was his consort.
Right.
And this brought about the possibility or the inevitability of what was referred to as a holy bloodline.
Right.
This is what caused the controversy with the Blood in the Grail book and, of course, Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
Now, my involvement in the mystery, as far back as 1985, I discovered some things that nobody to this day had managed to decipher, certain codes that Sonia had discovered back in the 1890s. And lo and behold, it brought the mystery or a liable solution to it. It brought it away from France mm-hmm. and to everybody's surprise brought it to England and to the cathedral, the great Gothic cathedral here in Lincoln.
Right. That's where you reside now.
So the DVD actually chronicles all my research and investigation at how that was brought about.
Mm-hmm.
And I clearly show how I deciphered some parchments that the French parish priest Sonia had discovered, and to this day nobody has successfully managed to decode, because to do so would be to have great insight into solving the mystery and where he actually got his amazing wealth from at the time, a wealth that people believed was strong enough for him to blackmail the Vatican,
right,
it being a great religious secret.
Right. Now, how did this whole idea start that Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ had a child together? This must have started somewhere, right? Is this something that's pretty old? Does it go back centuries, or is this something rather recent?
Well, again, going back to the Reine Le Chateau mystery, the Reine Le Chateau mystery gave a lot of insight into folklore and stuff throughout the south of France that had always been kept quiet by the church, obviously.
Right.
It had been suppressed and kept quiet. But via the Reine Le Chateau mystery, it all kind of exploded in one go in the 70s and was picked up by the Blood and the Grail authors in the 80s and Dan Brown in more recent times. So it seems like it's always been out there, a religious sect in the south of France called the Cathars. Mm-hmm. Were believed to have known the secret, but they were kind of exterminated by the Catholic Church. That's a historical fact.
Right. So now, is the history or the theory that Mary Magdalene was taken or moved from the land of Israel at the time to France? How did she get to France?
The last time Mary Magdalene is actually recorded in biblical text is at the scene just after the crucifixion, where on Easter, where what we now celebrate is Easter, where the tomb scene, where she went and discovered that the stone had been removed and there was no Jesus in the tomb. After that, Mary Magdalene just disappears from the Gospels.
Wasn't she the first person that Jesus appeared himself to? She was the first eyewitness of his resurrection. It wasn't just after the tomb, actually. When he rose and he showed himself resurrected.
That's right. She said to the disciples, she passed on the message, mm-hmm, of what she'd seen. But after that, Mary Magdalene just vanishes from the Gospels.
Mm, I see.
And the myth that we've now picked up on in recent times is that she was a partner to Jesus, carried his child, and was supposed to have fled from persecutors to the south of France,
right,
and lived out her life and gave birth to a child and a consequent bloodline. But where my storyline differs is that, and it, as disturbing as it is, I don't believe that she actually did escape. I believe that she was demised, and therefore there was no childbirth.
I see. So now, why was there pressure to get rid of her?
Well, if it ever became knowledge or a fact that Mary Magdalene had been partner to Jesus Christ and that they'd carried out procreation, it would erode at the fact, the doctrines, that Jesus was divine and not a human male, and therefore would not succumb to the things of the human.
I see.
So therefore he would lose his divinity.
Well, it always goes back to trying to discredit divinity and trying to discredit God. This isn't really brand new, really.
No, it is recycled stuff. I do agree, but whereas there's a great industry out there who take the bloodline theory seriously, and people are putting in claims that they may be, you know, modern day descendants all the way back to Jesus Christ. Mm. There's a lot of politics involved. But as I keep reinforcing, this is just fantasy.
Right.
This is just fantasy. There is no bloodline, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to face up to the more violent aspects of human nature,
right,
which hasn't changed in 2,000 years. What we're discussing is 2,000 years ago, but I'm afraid human nature hasn't changed much in 2,000 years. And unfortunately, prominent females who were challenging authority at the time throughout history always seem to have been removed one way or another.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, men as well. I mean, I know you look at a lot of leaders that are men that are really standing up for change. I mean, there's a lot of assassinations that happen to men as well.
Well, I was thinking,
I mean, every one of the disciples except for John was martyred. So, I mean,
well, yeah, if we look at the scene of the Last Supper, Da Vinci's painting of that, if we're going to agree for a moment that the person next to Jesus appears to be Mary Magdalene, a lot of people have had this argument, if we can just accept that for a moment, that's accurate, The person immediately next to that Mary is Peter, and he's making a very menacing gesture, you know, across her throat with his hand. And also in that painting, and everybody has agreed because we can now see this, there is a disembodied hand in that painting wielding a knife.
Right.
So the implications there are that Peter, upon whom the Catholic Church was founded, wasn't a great admirer of Mary Magdalene.
But can we just stop for a second? This is a painting.
Certainly.
Yeah, this is a painting that is quite, I mean, obviously famous, fascinating, interesting, and I think this is all really, really interesting fiction. But Da Vinci wasn't there.
Yeah.
He wasn't there. So this is his interpretation, and it's a painting. He wasn't there painting them at the Last Supper. So I don't know why all of a sudden this sounds like the religion of Da Vinci is what it sounds like to me, that based off the painting.
Do you not think, Carla, maybe that because, as I said maybe 10 minutes ago, that a lot of this had been suppressed, maybe somebody like Leonardo, who had access to doing such wonderful paintings which would last for a long, 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 long time, couldn't resist putting the truth or his interpretation
in
the painting?
But you're assuming that somehow there was some extra truth out there, and you're assuming he got his little painter hands on it, and you're assuming that there's this even exists and that he had some insight as a painter. And, you know, hey, could it, you know, who really knows? And that's why I said it's really, I think it's really interesting fiction. But to accredit this man to having some kind of, you know, first-hand encounter, and then talking about his painting as though he had this first-hand encounter. Hey, stand at the supper. Okay, great. Now smile. Okay, awesome. Like, he wasn't there. It's fiction.
I know this is an old argument, Carla, yes, but it is one that doesn't go away because, you know, I'm not skilled in mathematics or geometry, but I do know that a lot of people who are have carried out all sorts of geometric experiments on the canvas. They found some amazing geometry. They found mirror images. They found all sorts of stuff that appears to be in that painting alone, Cara, that you know, we would never suspect until somebody employed a science like mathematics upon it. So whereas, you know, we have a painting that we can all look at and admire, there does seem to be layers of hidden interpretations in there.
Right. Well, and I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying he wasn't an eyewitness account.
Right.
And we're talking about him as though he was. And I'm not saying that you can't glean something from it and you can't put together some theories, but I'm just saying, you know,
yes,
he wasn't there.
For a lot of people, Da Vinci was a bit of a mean man in this story. I do agree there.
I'm not saying he's mean. I'm saying the guy made a painting and now he's got a Church of Da Vinci.
Yeah, she's saying that's his version of what happened, and we're sort of like taking
This is considered not even necessarily Da Vinci's version. This is people's interpretation of what Da Vinci painted.
Right.
That's how art is.
Well,
it's interpretable.
That's an absolute fair point. But can't we spread that widespread so that, like, everybody, all of us, there's 6 million people on the planet, that all of us can have different interpretations and
absolutely.
How the Bible's been written is
absolutely
an interpretation. As far as I gather, there's still an argument over who actually wrote the Bible.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It was written 300 years after the alleged events. Now, how difficult must that have been? Because surely, or quite possibly, people who wrote stuff down, obviously word of mouth would have kept it alive for the first generation or so.
Not to interrupt you, but right, some of the Gospels were only written, were recorded as early as 5 years after. Some of the Gospels were. And that's not long enough for myth to be created. Now, I'm not saying every book of the Bible was written within 5 years, but I mean, there's a lot of evidence out there that supports that it was closer than 300 years. Anyway,
well, continue. I was going to say, Carl, who actually wrote it then? Was it, shall we say, people allied to the church, obviously?
Right.
What was about to become the church?
Right.
Because if they had a political bias or
Paul,
you know,
wrote most of the New Testament. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, so I don't know why you're going to Peter. Well, it's suspected that, you know, most theologians and scholars agree that mainly Paul was the author of most of the New Testament.
Okay.
Not the only author, but...
Did Paul not have a great opinion of women, Cara?
Did he not?
Is
I don't know.
Accepted?
I never met him. And from what I read in the scriptures, I don't think that he had an unfair view of women, and I'm a woman. I think you have to really look at what he's saying and the culture, and really look at the culture that he lived in at the time, you know?
Yes.
And I think that if you look at the scriptures, Christ was the ultimate equalizer. It wasn't even in the Bible it says this, and I believe Paul writes this. He says there's neither Gentile nor Jew nor male nor female nor Greek nor slave nor free in Christ Jesus, that we are all equal. And that's in the scriptures. So I really don't think he had a low opinion of women, but I do think there were some cultural tones that the Bible is real. The Bible doesn't whitewash the culture. The culture, women were looked at as property, which right. is why Jesus was so controversial when he would talk to women. That's why it's so scandalous, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I think the, you know, the church, you know, Kara, when you talk about the Bible and everything, you have to understand something. That's also an interpretation of someone. And I think what they're doing here in the movie is, now, let's see, I mean, do you show some evidence, Dan, or is that mostly theories and interpretations?
Well, you know, there's an awful lot of evidence that comes together and synchronizes and interlocks and backs up the theory that I've discussed and carried on since the Ren the Shackle mystery became available to everybody.
Right.
And you know, I'm aware of the fact that evidence does not constitute proof, but the amount of evidence is really quite a heavy amount.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
Again, getting back to what Cara says, how you interpret things, but you know. Lots of people like to dismiss things and say, "Oh well, you know, coincidence." But this is well beyond coincidence because it happens numerous times. How it's a bit like a paper chase, how all these clues lead onto one another and reinforce and back each other up.
Right, and you know, so I'm really curious to see the film. You know, we might have some things there, Kara, that if you watch them, you go, "Wow, you know, this makes sense and everything." But I
I'd like Kara to see it actually, and yourself. I mean, obviously.
Oh, I'd love
you know,
to.
We'll just,
don't misunderstand
we'll
me. It sounds like a really great fiction movie. I'd love to see it. No, I don't, I'm not being rude. I'm being honest. You got to understand, the Bible was the first thing ever printed on the printing press. To this day, it is the most debated book of all time, and it's the most sold-out book of all time. This story that we're talking about, and even if it's not about Mary Magdalene, trying to discredit the Bible and coming up with evidence, it's not new, and it comes from, you know, we're trying to always discredit, is this real? Is this the biggest hoax of all time? And I also think that, and this is, I think, very predominant in Europe and in your country, that the church has become this, and at many times was a mega power, was a mega manipulator and enforcer of people. And I think there's this constant battle against the quote-unquote the church. And I think what's missing sometimes when we with this hostility towards the church and trying to really discredit it and really bring about the secrets. I think a lot of it, there's probably are a lot of secrets within these human people and this church organization. But when you really get down to the Bible and you read it for yourself and you do study it, I mean, not that you're ever going to not have questions, that you're going to ever be able to prove anything, because it does require faith. And I acknowledge that.
Yes.
At the same time, you have the freedom. You don't have this oppression from the quote-unquote church when it becomes personal, when it becomes your own walk, and you're really seeking God, and you're gleaning from the scriptures, reading it for yourself. You don't have such a desire and hostility to quote-unquote rebel against the church when the church is eliminated from your personal journey with the Bible. And I see a lot of this tug of war and this interest in really discrediting the Bible and a lot of cultures and areas where the church is very has a lot of history of dominance.
Yeah.
So I think that plays a part.
Yes, I just think a lot of it has to do with maybe people are a bit fearful that some of the things you know in the Bible and what the Bible has passed on as faith and belief systems. You know, the fear that maybe if that hasn't been accurate somewhere, then let's find out the accuracy. It's not so much to attack the church or try to undermine it, but it's just a fear. You know, a search for truth, really, because if people are basing their lives on a faith or a belief system, and it may be inaccurate, you know, if not deliberately altered for, you know, maybe political reasons, it's a spiritual search. It can be anybody's search to let's try and find any truth out there that may be hidden or concealed. There can't surely be nothing wrong in a pursuit of the truth.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong on that. I think that being a seeker is an important part of the human heart, and I think that when people thirst for truth, and they're, I mean, not just, yes. Oh, I'm trying to create a truth or I'm trying to cause a scandal, but when somebody's heart's really searching for truth, fully open, they're going to find it. God will provide it. But I think that a lot of time, I really do believe that, but I don't think that a lot of times in people's hearts, they're really searching for truth. They're searching for something that's completely not. It's a deep heart issue. But I do really do advocate the seeking process. I think it's important.
Well, that's what, for my part, Cara, I've done, and you know, I've presented like Sam was asking, as much evidence as possible. Most of it is condensed in the movie documentary. I'm sharing it with everybody. Now, where we go from here, you know, either it could be proven to be true and therefore a lost truth, or it could be, you know, proven to be inaccurate and will be dismissed. So I have no kind of shame or anything about
pursuing
what I have and presenting it, even though it is, you know, controversial, and like Sam pointed out, the title of it alone is quite disturbing, and I'm the first to admit that, because, you know, I represent supporting the female in all walks of life. Violence towards women is definitely not what we want.
Right.
No, but it's a good title.
After all, this is what we're discussing. If a historical or biblical figure like Mary had been murdered or demised, you know, if nothing else, that's an act of violence towards female. Now, what sort of society could allow that to occur? And unfortunately, you know, we're still living in that society now. There was a statistic last week I saw that 80% of global women are forced to have unprotected sex. Now, that's just ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So we're living in a society, you know, where violence is still directed towards women. And like I said earlier on, Sam, you know, we're discussing live events of 2,000 years ago, but human nature, or aspects of human nature, hasn't altered all that much. You know, historically, Jeanne of Arc, she was murdered. I mean, there's an argument that our Princess Diana, that was an assassination plot. Benazir Bhutto, and so it goes on. Prominent women seem to be removed from the picture by, you know, one way or another. So why shouldn't it have been any different for Mary Magdalene had she been this very prominent female at the time that a lot of us suspect?
Right.
She was.
I mean, she possibly could have. I mean, that the Bible doesn't go into that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can assume anything.
So that's right. There's an argument, Karen, you must have heard it, because, you know, you're a clever lady, but that she had been written out of history, you know? It was only in 1967 that the Catholic Church decided to give her sainthood and, if you like, apologize for previously character assassinating her as a prostitute, which was never true.
Right. Right.
Well, I mean, it's all interpretive, and I think what you're tapping on, I don't disagree when it comes to persecution of anybody that's of change, especially women that are strong, even nowadays. I mean, I don't look at it and marvel. I look at it as human nature is never going to change. We may have some of it under control. We may have some of it suppressed in some
places. Ultimately, Kara, do you think human nature is a beatific thing, or is severely lacking in many areas?
Oh, I think innately humans, our instincts are innately towards bad. I do believe that. And not to say
I agree with you there.
I actually do believe we have to learn good, and we have a desire for good, but what comes natural to human nature is usually what? It's what's easy, it's what's immediate gratification, it's what's self-serving. And it doesn't mean we're always going to go around killing people, but when push comes to shove, they say people are like tea bags. You put them in hot water and you find out what they're really made of. And when humans are actually in some of the most hard, life-threatening situations, you really find what you're made of. Are you selfish? Is it all about you? Are you going to give sacrificially? Are you going to love sacrificially? Are you going to be generous? I mean, those are things that are not natural. We may desire those things, but they're not natural to our human nature.
I often find, Carla, that somehow...
Can you just say my name again? You know, I love it when you say my name.
Is it Kara Cara?
I don't care. I just love your accent saying my name.
Yes, I'm kind of from the northeast of England.
But
so, you know,
darling, you're so beautiful. I love the way that you sound when you're talking to me and saying my name, okay?
Well, I was getting back to what you did say. I think that we have it, you know, we're born innately with what is good and what is bad. We know within ourselves what is good and what is bad. Nobody had to teach us that, but we, you know, people do go against it knowingly, but it is born within us.
Right, right.
We're divided at best, you know.
Okay, well, you know, it totally makes sense, and I love the discussion and everything, but you have to realize, Kara, that even the Bible is an interpretation of something.
Sam, I don't know. You're...
Yes, Sam, that's he's hit it on the head there. Yes, when we say that, like, my work, for example, is interpretation, yes, it is. And when we say Da Vinci's is interpretation, yes, it is. But
I never said the Bible
I'd like
wasn't.
To say that the Bible, too, is interpretation.
I never right. said it wasn't.
Okay, we didn't say that you didn't. I'm just saying. Okay?
Sam's
I'm
not
going to get into an argument.
Well, smiling. Yeah, you are. We're on the radio. That's what we do. No, I'm just saying, absolutely. There, you know, everything that is interpreted, I mean, there that is a wide, broad word. And you can interpret something off of a feeling and an emotion, off a hidden yeah. motive, or right. you can interpret it off of evidence. You can, you know, really study it and still, I mean, most of science is not proven, it's interpreted. So interpretation yeah. is a huge, broad word. And a lot of science that we hold true is still not proven to this day.
It's, then it's not science.
No,
I mean,
no,
that's
no,
theory.
No, but everything
okay.
in no.
Theory.
There's still but, what we hold as scientific truths
right.
throughout our world uh-huh. are still hypotheses that have evidence and that are theories and that they're not. You cannot completely 100% prove them. So
well, okay.
I just
there
think it's
go.
A very broad,
yeah.
broad thing.
Okay, we're talking to Dan Green, of course. The film is The Murder of Mary Magdalene, Genocide of the Holy Bloodline. Dan, this is very fascinating.
You're
and
really
I
cool,
can't
Dan.
Wait to see the book, I mean the film. And maybe Kara, you know, we'll
oh, I'll definitely watch
at
it.
At least you'll find it interesting, you know.
No,
to see
I'm
how,
like I told like I told Dan. Listen, I think Dan's a seeker. If Dan's really searching for truth, amen to him. And at the end of the day, I will definitely watch your film if you send it.
Please do.
I
yeah.
would
yeah.
love
Kara,
to.
I'll
yeah.
See, I'll see your name with my accent a dozen times.
I love it, darling. Yeah. First of all, it's gorgeous. I don't talk as nice as you do, but I'm working on it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Then.
And Dan, where can we find the film? Do you have a website?
If you go to if you go on your internet to Google and go to Reality Films.
Mm-hmm.
Reality Films.
Right.
You can get it direct from there, and everywhere else on the web, it's available from March the 30th.
I see.
And,
okay.
And also remember that this research of mine is ongoing. It hasn't stopped in the DVD.
Uh-huh.
It is still ongoing.
Okay. Well, very nice. So you'll probably have another one coming up soon, and we'll check it out for sure.
Be a good movie night.
Yeah.
Please do that. And if you need to get in touch again, you're most welcome.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Dan. You
Dan,
have a great day.
Thank you for taking
thank
the time.
Thank you for engaging.
And congratulations on the film.
And thank you. Bye-bye, my friends.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Very nice. And you
I
challenged
like
him, but that's good. That's what radio is. And you know, you don't want to take things at face value and everything.
No, he's a cool guy. He
but,
can handle it.
No, I know. I don't think we ever implied that he was not a cool guy. I'm just saying that it's you know, I mean, criticism. I mean, these are like big claims, you know, and then they can expect a lot of response like
oh,
this.
Oh, I'm not
you
the
know,
first
because,
rodeo he's been.
Yeah. I mean, not only you, but the Vatican, you know, is definitely not happy with this. And when,
yeah.
when the book, The Da Vinci Code, came out and stuff, they were almost under attack, you know, the Vatican,
mm.
you know, as far as can you prove this did not happen? You know, what do you think with all this evidence and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So you should definitely read up on it a little bit, just see like what people claim as evidence, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, I
thinking,
don't,
you know?
I've done a little bit of research on it. I mean, I'm not by any means a scholar on it. I just feel like personally, I know where the heart of this, of the heart of the argument comes from. In my opinion, I do believe that.
Right.
But, you know, nonetheless, people are free to believe and to search what they want. And you never know where those pathways will lead people.
Right.
And so for some people, their pathway to finding God is totally, it could look like they're trying to disprove God or whatever it is, I'm saying hypothetically, and totally lead them to God.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. If somebody's heart is completely open and they really do want to find truth, not, oh, I want to, you know, this, and this, they're really looking for God, they're going to find God. The Bible says he's a hidden God and he reveals himself to those who seek him.
Yeah.
So, you know, that looks different for everybody.
Yeah, I do have to take issue though with the science argument you put up, and that is that you know, nothing's been proven.
No, I'm not saying nothing. I'm saying there's not that nothing's been proven. I'm saying there's a wide, broad range of science that we accept as truth that has not been fully proven.
Scientists take it as theory. If it's just a theory, then that's what we take. But there is empirical evidence to a lot of scientific claims. And, so I don't think it's up in the air. I think there's a lot of evidence in physics and so forth. I mean,
evidence doesn't mean it's proven, though. Evidence supports. It doesn't mean that it's
proven.
No, well,
they can prove it. I mean, there's proofs as well as to
I'm saying there's a lot of truth.
Okay, well, if you say that, then bring up examples, you know.
For example, evolution has not been proven, but it's been taught in schools. It's taught as almost pretty much a truth, but it's not been proven. It is a theory.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's
a
lot of evidence.
That's why they call it the evolution theory, the theory of evolution.
Well, you and I know that, Sam, right. But I'm saying it's taught and it's accepted by a lot of people as truth.
Yeah, but so is creationism. I
Absolutely.
Mean, that's
not
taught as truth as well.
No. Not in schools, it's not.
Yes, it is.
In schools? I went to school a lot sooner than you did.
When they teach you Bible, they teach you...
No, I'm talking about when you go to a public school system, right. A lot of times creationism is even being phased out at this moment, of not even being brought up as a intellectual design or...
Right, but if there is a Bible class in a public school...
There's not Bible classes where they teach you about that. It's not... Right. That doesn't... Yeah.
Okay, so they only teach you that in Sunday school and stuff. Right.
When I was in school, when they were teaching this, and this was probably about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago. More than 10 years ago. But they were teaching evolution theory, and then there was also creationism.
Right.
But they don't tell you what the name of God is or what the faith is.
Right.
They're just they're proposing the idea that there's intelligent design and that we were created and we were given an option to, kind of look into both, and we did little projects on both, and it was to even see if maybe both coexist together. Mm-hmm. But neither one of them are proven, right? It takes faith to believe in a lot of science,
right.
Just as it takes faith to believe in God. And personally, to me, science does not at all contradict God. I'm not intimidated by it. I think it's an extension of God's work. So this whole idea that Christians are afraid of, oh my gosh, what if dinosaurs existed and stuff like that, God made it all. It's all his inner workings, and we're just getting to see a glimpse of it.
Right.
But what my point is even nowadays, creationism has and is being phased out in a lot of schools, whereas evolution is being taught more and being taught with the emphasis as though it is truth when it isn't proven fully. There's evidence, and it's there, and you can believe it, but it's not. You can't teach it as though it is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying there's a lot of science that we take. With good reason, we take as though it's true because we have no reason not to believe that it's not true.
Right.
But if you were to sit down and it was to be fully hammered out on paper by scientists, there's going to be holes. There's going to be question marks.
Well, of course. But I still don't. I think still that religion is more far-fetched than science. Because in religion you have no evidence whatsoever that things happened. Why?
Wait a minute. First of all, religion, spirituality, you're trying to say that, first of all, you can argue this till the cows come home, but there's evidence, but then it still requires faith.
Right.
Just like
That's
some.
What I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay.
There's still the same thing with a lot of science. There's evidence, and then it still requires faith.
Right. But what I'm saying is in science, there's less of that than you have in religion.
It depends
in religion,
on
religion, it's
let's
all
science,
based,
listen,
based on
Sam,
faith, you know?
Sam,
and sometimes you choose to believe
some. Science is huge. It depends on what step. If we're talking about evolution, maybe it requires a little amount of faith because there's just so much evidence. There's some stuff that goes into so many different things with the genes and with the makeup of humans and anatomy and astronomy and all these different aspects of science where, it's really far-fetched. It's not that or there's lack of that much evidence,
right.
So it just depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I
carbon
feel just
copy
as strongly
dating.
About people that believe some cockamamie stories that somebody made up,
Well, you can't prove that you can't necessarily prove
No, I can't prove. I'm just saying that that's my opinion.
Well, I think it bothers you, and I respect that.
No, it doesn't bother me because, like I said again, I enjoy reading the Bible quite a bit, but I don't like when people take it quite literally, everything that's written there.
Well, I mean, believing it or taking it completely as literal. I mean, I think the Bible, part of it's metaphorical, part of it's lyrical, part of it's poetic.
So I can say also that many people take it as fact when it's not.
Well, I definitely agree with that.
Okay.
What I agree with is that there are some people that take the Bible And it's not that I don't believe in the Bible. I believe in the entire Bible as the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But does that mean that every passage is to be literal?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's not true. But right. I mean, I think some of it's metaphorical.
Right.
Okay. So some people, for example, creationism, 7 days, God created, 6 days, he created the whole creation and humans, and seventh day he rested. Is that literal or is that symbolic and measurement of time?
Right.
I actually don't know. And personally, it's not a crux of my faith. It's not a deal breaker. And I don't find it to be a defining factor of what I, of who I believe in and right. what I believe, whereas some Christians believe you have to take this literal.
Right.
And
right.
I'm saying, okay, well, I don't necessarily believe I have to take it literal or metaphorical and yet still believe it.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Why is it that back in the biblical days, people seem to have a lot more closer relationship with God, where he would speak to them and tell them what to do and things like that, where, like with Jesus Christ, for example, you believe that he's the Son of God. I believe that we're all sons of God. And, you know, so, you know, it's like it's stories that today would not, they don't happen.
Well, there's many, when you say biblical times, that's like eons of time. So there's different segments. So like in the book of...
Well, it's 5,000 years, let's say. Right?
No,
or actually,
no,
the Bible
no.
is less than that.
No, my gosh, it's so much more. From the time of Abraham and Sarah to the book of Revelation.
5,000 years.
I don't think so. But anyway.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more than that. Because
okay.
there were hundreds of years. The book of Malachi in the Old Testament, your the Torah.
Uh-huh.
It actually, there's a time when it's recorded that God never spoke anymore. It doesn't mean God wasn't there, but he actually did not speak to people. And back in the Old Testament, God spoke a lot through prophets.
Prophets,
and,
okay. So why doesn't it happen anymore?
But hold on, I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay.
You're asking the relationship aspect of having this real personal, intimate conversation with God that you see in the Bible. I'm saying
not just conversations, but you know, actual things like miracles and things that are happening that don't seem to happen. They're against nature.
Okay.
So why is it that it happened during those years and not now?
Well, I'm not saying I've heard stuff happening in a lot of different countries that are miraculous, but they don't happen in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there were these missionaries in a remote village.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was in Africa. And these are stories that aren't reported, that aren't
right.
widely spread because it's not in our media, and it has a lot to do with the fact that these are in a much more remote, much more impoverished places where these missionaries were giving gifts to kids in the village, and they had a big bag of toys.
Right.
And they'd really only put a doll or a ball in the bag. And one of the kids were lined up, and the kid would come up and she'd say, "What is it that you want?" And he would say, a ball. So she'd pull out a ball. Mm-hmm. And then the girl would come up, "What do you want?" A doll. She pulls out a doll. And then it goes on. One of the kids is saying, "I want a toy truck." And out of the bag comes a toy truck.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't bring a toy truck.
Right.
And the next kid says, I want jacks, like, you know, little things you throw down and play. She pulls out, and out come jacks.
Yeah.
Now, this
so this
can
is
sound
the
like,
proof you're using for me? I mean, this is like
no,
some
no, no,
story
I'm saying,
in Africa
I'm saying,
that I never heard.
No, no, you've
you know?
You're asking me
it
something.
It sounds like a magician.
No, actually, absolutely it sounds like a magician.
Yeah.
But you asked me about miracles. What do miracles sound like?
Right.
They sound like freaking magic. My point is I'm not telling you to believe it, Sam.
Miracles is not magic. Miracles
no,
is
they
things
look,
like.
No, they can look like magic. When somebody
right.
it, when somebody does anything that basically it intervenes the laws of gravity or the laws of physics or the laws of nature, and it's
right.
become supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
It can look like magic. But my point is, I'm not asking you to believe this. I'm really not.
Right.
But I'm just saying there are a lot of reported stories with lots of eyewitnesses
mm-hmm.
all over that are in the mission fields that see miraculous things every day. And if you look at the Bible, the thing is this is going to take long to explain this because you asked like five questions in one. So I'm trying to figure out which one you want to hear more about. Miracles, you want to hear about how God speaks, why we don't have prophets. I'm going to stick to miracles, okay? Is that what you want to hear?
Yeah. We
okay, because I just want to make sure because you went to five different places, so I'm just going to isolate it. In the Bible, there was one city that Jesus entered, and it said he did not stay very long. Basically, he did not stay very long and did not perform many miracles because they lacked faith. And we see a connection between the miraculous and faith. And in our society, and I'm going to just talk about the Christian community within the U.S., is still very spiritually and faithful, sedated society.
Right.
We have coffee brewed for us in the morning. We have toothpaste on our toothbrush. We go to work. We provide for ourselves. We go to a grocery store and there's not one. There's 20, 50,000 different kinds of toilet paper to choose from. We've got everything we need. And what happens sometimes, what can happen in those situations is that the dependency on God for every little thing, the dependency on God for your next meal, your next breath becomes sedated and you don't feel that dependency. That doesn't mean you shouldn't feel that dependency because we need God for everything. Now, you go to these other countries or these remote villages where there is the heart is open and there's they have an ability to believe God for the littlest and biggest things. And you do hear, and I hear it, and I think it's more in the Christian community, of these miraculous things happening.
Right, but it doesn't seem to happen in sophisticated societies, right? We don't see someone like Jesus coming out today and doing
these things.
We don't have prophets, we have televangelists.
No, but the idea, too, now you're going to how God speaks, and that's what I was trying to...
No, I'm not. Look, what I'm saying is, I think, one simple thing.
What are you saying?
And that is why these things don't happen now.
Okay? But
and you're only giving me examples of people that are as primitive as the people in the Bible. You know?
Well, they're you not, could call them primitive.
Yeah, it is primitive. When someone is in the village in Africa and they don't know how to, to be able to survive, then, they start explaining things, you know? I can totally see how people would see, a big rain as the flood, you know, and assuming that God is angry at us. I mean, religious people say this all the time. I mean, Pat Robertson said something like the thing the earthquake in Haiti was because of this and that. He said that 9/11 happened because God was angry at us and stuff like this. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the prophets were saying the same thing.
Okay, Sam, you're going to have to let me talk. Now, listen.
I always let you talk, my dear.
I know. But listen, you're all over the place, and I appreciate everything you're saying, and I want to answer it all, but I have to take one thing at a time. You really don't realize what you're saying, but you're saying like five different topics that you want to know answers on. I also want to go to, and I think those are actually really good points, what you're saying, by the way. It's a really good argument that, hey, these people are freaking close to monkeys. Why the hell would I believe anything that they say? A flip side of the coin is to say, you know what? Sometimes when you are in lack, when you're in a place where you don't have anything, you know, your heart may be spiritually in a more open place because you're not as sedated. But I do want to say something, and I'm not saying that that's evidence. I'm saying that is something to question. Also, I want to talk about Jesus's walk on earth. He was we call him the God man because he was God in human flesh. He was God incarnate. He took on the sins of humanity. He walked this earth. And
yeah,
hold on,
God is in the form, we are today not any different. I think you see, just based on your argument, God
I'm
is,
not even
is
finished.
In our
you don't
flesh
know what my
as
argument
well.
Is.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
You mentioned that.
I'm trying to explain to you why the communication isn't like through the prophets and stuff like that, like it used to. God said before, Jesus said before he was to be crucified, because he was contained into a human body. Mm-hmm. He left all of his deity, like when it came to being omnipotent, omnipresent, which means everywhere at every time, to be in the form of human, because he wanted to speak our language, be an example for us, and communicate with us. And he said, the Son of Man. Okay, Son of Man must suffer and must be crucified and then will raise on the third day. And he prophesied over and over and over and over about what was going to happen. And he went into a little bit of why, and he spoke these things. And he said, I must leave so that the counselor may come, that God will provide you with a gift. Now, through the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, we believe that we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of God that dwells in our hearts. It's called the counselor, the comforter, the advocate. Holy Spirit convicts us when we're wrong, helps to lead us to what we're supposed to do. Holy Spirit comforts us through mourning, through troubles, through persecution. Holy Spirit is our advocate, which means intercedes on our behalf. We don't have to go through a priest anymore. The Holy Spirit, when we pray, intercedes for our prayers with God. And there's an holy indwelling of the Lord that is constantly our coach and our lover and our guide. And through we don't need to see all these. I'm not saying they don't exist, but it's not a widespread acceptance of truth that there's prophets like there used to be, because Christ came, died, poured out his life. He gave everything for you and me so that, guess what? We don't go through anybody. The curtain and the veil has been torn so that now we communicate with God through our spirit, through the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to do now.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So now, what about the Jews then? So are the Jews... they don't get it, right, when they don't believe in Jesus?
Well, I mean, anybody that is running from God, whatever that looks like, whether you're Jew, whether you're Christian.
Jews are not running from God.
Well, you don't know who's running from God. Just because you're Jew, don't think you're special or saved.
No, I'm talking about, but let's say, people that are religious. That really
anybody of religion. I'm saying, even if you're in the Christian community,
right,
anybody that's Catholic, anybody that's Buddhist, anybody that's seeking anything else but God and really isn't seeking God and seeking his whole heart.
So you're saying the Jews are not seeking God?
No, I'm not saying the Jews are. I'm saying you don't know in the cavity of their heart. You don't know mm-hmm. if the stillness of their soul, if they're really seeking God or not. Just because they put on the look.
So you're talking about like a whole people.
I'm talking about humanity.
No. You're talking about Jews right now.
No, you're trying to make me talk about Jews.
I'm taking it broader.
No, Sam, this isn't... Yeah. You, listen, Jews, in my opinion, are a point of origin.
Right.
There is something unique and special about the fact that they're...
But the church claims they don't get it.
No, but...
If you don't accept Jesus Christ...
If you don't accept
you don't
Jesus
it,
Christ,
right?
Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light.
Right.
Okay, no man shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. No man shall enter into God except through me.
Right.
Okay? Now, if you look at what does that mean, the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
And what does it mean that Jesus is? Jesus came here to show us how to live. He came here to be the ultimate intercessor. He came here and paid a price that you and I can never pay.
Right.
He came... Hold on, I'm not finished.
Yeah.
And through his crucifixion, mm-hmm. okay, death was destroyed. That means we are to have eternal life after this life with our Father in heaven. Hostility between God and man has been destroyed, but it's only through the blood of Christ. Now, the way God reaches people isn't everybody going to Bible class. The way God reaches people, there's been stories of people learning about Jesus in remote jungles where nobody taught them anything. And I really think that maybe some people don't call Jesus Jesus, but the reality is that we're all going to meet him one day. And if you want me to try to say this blanket statement against Jews or against any people, I'm not. I'm saying humanity, whether you are Jew, Christian, Buddhist, Islamic, whatever, you're going to have a meeting with God, okay?
Right.
It forever starts.
Okay.
The reality is, don't hide behind your religion. Don't hide behind the garb that you wear and the lingo that you say, because God sees through it. And he's in. That's not what saves us. Okay, it doesn't save us.
So Buddhists, you say, are not seeking God.
No, I didn't say they're not seeking God.
Jews are not seeking God.
Didn't say that.
Okay. But you just mentioned it.
I said anybody doesn't matter what your religion is.
Right.
Don't twist what I'm saying, Sam.
Why would I want to twist what you're saying?
I'm
trying to understand what you're saying.
Listen to me. Any human being, mm-hmm. and I'm just saying, regardless of your religious affiliation,
right?
Okay, mm-hmm. God is bigger than your tradition.
Okay.
Okay. God is bigger than what you've been taught.
Right.
He can work through your faith mm-hmm. to bring you to his son, to bring you into reconciliation, to bring you into fellowship with him.
Right.
Or he can work outside of that faith.
Right.
And the reality is a lot of people think that they are saved, or don't think they need to be saved.
Right.
Or don't think there's a problem if they just do quote unquote the right thing, because we all know what's right, quote unquote. And my point is that your religions, whether that's even Christianity, that means even if you do Bible school, even if you say the right thing and look really good on the outside, guess what? Isn't going to save you.
Mm-hmm.
It's deeper than that, because we are broken people.
Mm-hmm.
We are broken people, and we all need God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying.
Right. Okay, so now what I want to understand, I need to be clear on this. So anybody that does not believe in Jesus Christ...
Okay.
Go ahead. Finish the sentence.
What do you want me to say?
Can you finish the sentence?
I've been saying the sentence all this time.
Okay.
You're trying to tell me that what you want me to say.
No. What I'm getting from you is only your religion and only your views are the correct ones.
Okay, Sam, what did I just say? I just told you, I said, even if you're Christian,
right?
Okay.
Okay.
Even if you do the Christian thing, which I'm a Christian, right?
Right.
Even if you are doing the Christian thing and doing the religious thing,
right,
it's not going to save you.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so I'm agreeing with you. I'm not saying anything different.
I'm not talking about Christianity. I believe in the Bible.
Right.
And I believe that the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will enter into the Father apart from Jesus.
Okay.
But look into that, read it for yourself, pray on it, and see what does that really mean.
Right.
What does that really mean?
Okay.
Because just because somebody says their name Jesus doesn't mean they're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Just because some people call him Jesus doesn't mean that some people may call him something else in a different country, in a different language.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the real blood of Christ that saves us. And it's like if I said to you, Sam, hey, let's go get you chemotherapy. And you look at me like, what? I said, come on, let's go get you chemotherapy. You're like, I don't have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The condition with the human heart is that people don't think they need to be saved. People
mm-hmm.
think they can do it on their own. And the biggest, longest, oldest story in the book of all history is that we as humans have a hostility naturally towards God because God is what stands in the way of our will. And we don't want to submit to anybody. We want to be our own God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest heart issue that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
really. It's not about I'm enforcing something on you or you're enforcing something on me. It's really about the fact that people, it's in our nature. You can't even help it. You can't even help it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be your own God.
Right.
And that's okay. That's really the heart of it.
All right. We have to accept that.
Good conversation, Sam.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
The phone lines are open on Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get...
I've been trying to find a situation to straighten out. If what you do is a good deed, working from your soul.
breaks the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, we're saving the world one listener at a time.
For everybody listening, I do love Sam. I get a little passionate. I love you, Sam.
Yeah, what does that have to do with anything?
I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, we're just talking. I mean, what's the big deal, you know?
Well,
people
not for
have
me.
Opinions. I should know not to argue with people that are religious.
It's
okay?
Not. It's good. It's good conversation.
No, I mean, because... No, I love these conversations.
It doesn't bother me.
But
I always say that for other people
listening. It's hard to carry a logical conversation when you bring in a lot of faith into it.
Well, you know what? I don't think it's illogical. I do think what it is it takes people to a place that they consider the unseen. They consider things that do require faith, and that's uncomfortable. And you just may not agree with it, which is either way, it's fine. But I don't think it's completely illogical. It just kind of goes into a really gray area.
Mm.
But, you know, it doesn't mean don't have those conversations. I think that's how people grow and learn.
Yeah.
On both sides, you know?
No, absolutely.
So
we had an earthquake this
freaking
morning.
Freaking had an earthquake.
Yeah.
And it was outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think in Glendale or something, right?
No, it was outside.
Pico Rivera, I think.
It was further than Glendale, but it was a 4.0.
Mm-hmm. 4.4.
4.4. Mm. It freaking woke me up.
Really?
Sam.
Yeah.
Okay, for you guys listening, and this is going to be... This is going to sound very fitting for the conversation we just had. I'm no prophet of God. I'm not psychic. I have no special red phone to God, and I'm not about to say what I'm saying is true. I'm just telling you what happened. I had a dream yesterday night, Sunday night, that Los Angeles was having a huge earthquake.
Really?
Yeah, and it was going to be big, like at the size of the one in Chile, like around 7.0, like 6.9, 7.0. And in my dream, I knew certain freeways not to take, and I was trying to drive to get out of L.A., and I didn't have enough gas money.
How fitting.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then I was driving, then I took a wrong turn, and I ended up in, on the freeway I wasn't supposed to be on.
Yeah.
Well, then the next night, I wake up because my freaking apartment building's shaking.
Wow.
In like a waterbed.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I was like, what does this mean? Oh my gosh. Because I mean, I don't believe in coincidences, but I definitely don't believe that you're always going to understand why things happen. I don't try to overly think it, because if you're supposed to know, you'll know.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in living out of fear, you know.
Right.
But I gotta tell you, if you had a dream that there is going to be a huge earthquake in Los Angeles, and then the next night there's an earthquake,
right,
wouldn't you feel a little bit freaked out about that?
You know what, though? I mean, but you got to understand, we've been talking about earthquakes, not you and me, but in general.
Yeah,
we've
you're
had
right.
A lot of
you're
earthquakes
right. You're right.
Lately.
That's true. Maybe I've just been listening to news and.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, at the same time, you know, yeah, it's not unusual for us to have earthquakes in
LA. No, but
know?
I mean, it's been. It
but
hasn't,
it is weird that you.
It hasn't
about
been
it.
Recent that we've had one where you can feel it.
Right.
I mean, my roommate and I felt it.
Yeah.
It was like,
wow, that's scary, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
was it the swaying kind?
It was the swaying kind, and I haven't felt a sway one in like until I first moved here back in like 2001.
Mm.
I haven't felt one like that since 2001.
Yeah, just the shaking ones.
I haven't even felt really a shaking one. Really?
Really?
No.
So you never felt an earthquake until this time? Is that what you said?
Well, no, I felt a swaying one when I first moved here, but it lasted about the same amount of time. It was like, it was one of those, I could tell this earthquake that happened last night didn't happen in LA, but we were feeling the aftermath or the, you know, the remnants of it happening somewhere else. And it did happen, outside of LA East, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's scary, huh?
It
you
is.
Know, I know during the earthquake.
Were you here for? You weren't here for Northridge, right?
No, we moved the week before that to Vegas.
Don't you feel like so blessed? Or,
yeah.
You know, or
I do. I do.
That you're just like, man.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I really fear the big one. You know, I mean, I don't lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you have to.
You can't live.
To understand, there's no like warnings or anything. I mean,
I know there's not. There's not. There's not.
And it's very scary while it's happening, because all you can think of is please stop, please stop. You know, because you don't know how bad it's gonna be.
I know. I was sitting there last night going, was that like the before story? Was that like the little appetizer before the freaking entree comes? Mm-hmm. I was like, but I mean, it's a weird feeling that you're sitting on and sleeping on, and your freaking physical world is
shaking. Yeah.
Yeah. If you knew that, if you knew all they did was just shake a bit, then you'd be fine. You'd be like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
until it, you know, freaking the world comes up and swallows your damn apartment building.
Yeah, that's, there you go.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. You know, I mean, are you like prepared for earthquakes? Do you have any first aid?
No, I'm barely prepared for anything.
I know. Most people are not.
I'm not prepared for the freaking day. I mean, I got to go take a shower.
Yeah. But can you imagine, I mean, when there's no electricity, there's no water, there's no nothing,
yeah,
you know? I mean,
it's probably good. I mean, maybe that's a good little warning sign, just at least get bottles of water. And
I think so, you know, like a few supplies and stuff, you know? Because you never know. I mean, you know, if it's serious enough, there's going to be looting and shit, you know? There's, you know, streets are going
to
be...
Such a good time to go shopping, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, when, like, the earth is all, like, crumbled up and people are, like, smashed under lightning light poles and stuff. Let's
there
go ahead and
go,
just...
you know? So you have to have some supplies. But where do you start, you know? I mean, there's so many things you might need, you know?
For an earthquake, yeah. Actually, I'm sure we can Google it, but I think you need, like, flashlight batteries, you know,
yeah,
water,
like
canned
that.
Food,
right.
Can opener.
Right.
It would suck if you didn't have a can opener. A can opener. Yeah, I think all those non-perishables. And
even clothes and stuff.
Rope,
you know, shoes.
Yeah. Underwear, bra.
Yeah. I think we should dedicate a room in my house or a closet just for supplies.
I think you should, yeah. We live in an earthquake world.
Yeah, we really do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, thank God we haven't had one yet, but we're apparently due. Our time's up. Our ticket's coming up.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh God, what are you saying? Why did I have that dream? But maybe it's just a dream, like you said. Maybe it's just one of those.
It's just a dream.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So you were going to tell me how to dream? Is that what you told me before?
Oh, no. No, I just said I had a dream.
Oh, I see.
I had a dream. I don't know how to dream. No. Yeah. I had a dream. No, but so those of you guys that are listening that we were late today, I blamed it on the earthquake. Because I was up at like 4:30 is when it happened, right around 4:30.
Right.
And I didn't go back to bed till about 6 or 7. And then usually I wake up around like, I usually wake up around 7 o'clock. So I thought, oh, I'll just sleep for a little bit. And then I got a phone call from Sam and I was like, who's calling my phone so early? What's going on? And I look at it, I was like, that's Sam's number.
You mean I woke you up?
Yeah, you did.
At 9:05.
Yeah. That's why I look like this. Literally, I slept in this dress and this tank top. I put this thing
You're
over.
You're crazy. You could have just told me, look, I overslept. Let's just cancel the show. You know?
No, I don't want to cancel the show.
Yeah, well, half of it was good.
No, only 30 minutes.
Okay.
30 minutes. I don't want to cancel the
show. Well, I wasn't
going
to talk about it, but you did. So.
Well, let's just get it on the table. It's my fault, but more the earthquake's fault.
Okay, let's blame the earthquake.
Yeah, but no, I'm a little crusty today.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's called didn't brush my teeth. That's called I took a swipe of toothpaste and put it on my tongue.
Really?
And then
it's terrible to get ready like that in the morning.
That's
I would
okay.
go crazy.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm
I mean I was like running behind 5 minutes and I was stressed out today.
Oh really?
Yeah. It's not like I was late, but I was like, you know, I just like in the morning I work a little bit and stuff and I overdid it, which leaves me less time to get ready. You know?
Oh.
And so, yeah, I was crazy when, you know, when I have to rush because in the morning I'm just not functioning in all cylinders, you know.
Well, like my roommate, she's like a corpse in the morning. She moves so damn slow.
Really?
She called me yesterday. She's like, hey, you want to go grab a coffee? It was right after the show. I've been up since 7 o'clock. I'm ready to start my day. We finished the show. It's 11 o'clock. I was like, sure, where do you want to go? We decided where we were going to go. And then we couldn't decide. And then it was like, you know what? I'm really hungry. Let me come home, make a quick breakfast, and then let's head out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when she called me, she just woke up. And
yeah.
the girl don't move fast.
Yeah.
Girl don't move fast in the morning, okay? She just kind of like, hey. She does that thing.
Yeah.
And I get home. I'm like, okay. And we start chatting. And she gets on her computer. And I'm thinking, why the hell isn't she getting ready? And I'm making a breakfast. I eat my breakfast. Well, I do eat a little fast. I ate like a little starving orphan girl because I was hungry. And then I go to the bathroom and then I grab my stuff and she's just starting to put on her makeup and I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, get the hell out of my
come
way.
Come on. She just wakes up later and moves slower. And I love you, Sarah, because I know she's listening.
Yeah.
She listens every day.
This is interesting because I wasn't even going to call. I thought you're probably on the way. I'll just wait.
Oh, I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
I never sleep that late. I was surprised. I thought, oh, it's probably, it was so like the sun was in my eyes. I was waking up like a little tweety little bird, like tweet, 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 tweet.
Yeah.
I just felt like so rested, and I was like, oh, it feels so great right now. And then
it's also the fact we have to get up so early now. You know, it's like an hour earlier outside.
Maybe that's what it is. So I can blame, yeah, it, on, I can blame it on daylight savings.
You can
and
blame
the
it
earthquake
on that as well.
Damn.
Yeah. There you go. You see, you've got a lot of excuses.
Oh, love it.
A lot of different good reasons.
Gotta have those excuses.
Yeah.
Gotta have them ready. So I have an interesting job interview Wednesday.
Really?
It's to be kind of a personal assistant, mm-hmm, but not so much of an administrative assistant, but somebody that's like eye candy / communicator. This sounds really legit. Listen to this. So
sounds like an escort.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's a guy who's from overseas who does a lot of business in the U.S., specifically L.A., mm-hmm, and, you know, social networks and, you know, does a lot of hedge funding, things like that. And he needs somebody to basically help mediate, like take notes when he's in meetings,
right,
and to go back and basically translate. You know, not translate, but I mean, help him to digest what was said.
Right.
You know, communicator. So you have to have like a little bit. You got to be able to communicate and have like. And I have a sales background, so that kind of helps too. And then also, he just really wants somebody hot.
Yeah.
So when he goes to these functions, his little sidekick is like the hot girl.
I see.
So it could be super sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
It's sounding pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
But it does sound
get
like
paid in advance.
Yeah, actually, it's a pretty decent salary and fun stuff. Get to go
see
to fun.
See if he'll give it to you in advance.
Hey, can you go
tell
me
him
that
I
check?
I don't know you. Yeah. Or at least half up front.
Well, I'm thinking like, I mean, you know, when it's salary, it's broken down to what you get paid by.
But it's not a salary. You only do it once, right? Or is it on a regular basis?
No, it wouldn't be regular, but it would be like an ongoing gig.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I think it's a salary. And then I think I get like certain like expenses for things and stuff like that. We'll see.
Yeah.
It sounds sketchy, but I'm excited
salary.
To go.
Salary. You should maybe get paid every time you do it, you know, so he doesn't owe you any money. So you don't have to go chasing him after the money, you know? You know, I mean, I can't imagine he'd make you like an employee with.
Well, I think it's a pretty consistent thing, like constantly, like pretty, you know, a few nights a week going to functions or dinners, things like
I
that.
I see. So it's pretty regular.
Yeah, it's pretty regular.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm going to get it because
there's,
you know, a lot of women that are interviewing for the position.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was supposed to interview a while back and he had hired somebody, but she lived in a different part of the country and he needs somebody in L.A.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And we'll see if it's sketchy, but I'll have a good story to tell you guys.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah,
huh?
You never know. The stuff I find.
Yeah.
But it sounds
know,
like fun.
I know.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
I hope he doesn't expect some ass, you know?
Oh, that's just not going to happen. You know me. I freaking shut that shit
down.
No,
I know. But what if he expects it?
Well, then
you
he's
know?
Just going to be really unhappy. And he's. I'm just going to say, peace. Have fun with your hand. I'm out of here. You know, what do you want me to do? Sorry about that. Not my problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
He's probably a lot older. I think I don't remember what part of the country. What I know he's overseas. I don't remember where he's from. And I was told he was very short.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really attracted to that anyway.
No, huh?
Older and short. It's not a good combo. It's not a good combo, Sam. And then I went to a meeting yesterday for my Persian friends that I sang lip singing in the background and I faked it all.
Yeah.
So they're going to hire me to do more events.
Really?
Yeah, just to be a background lip. I won't be lip singing. I'll be really learning the music this time. But
yeah
and it pays really freaking well.
Really?
And I get to go to all these like these little Persian functions and not be Persian and, you know, and sing and bebop and then I'm out of there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, you'll have fun and make a little money, you know? I mean, it'll be nice.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, come on, my life is great. And then over the weekend, I got a lap dance from a 287-pound girl. Woo!
Yeah, you see, you got to manifest it somehow, right?
Man, I'm just having a blast. Life is fun.
Yeah, you got to make it happen, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
what are you making noise
about? Sorry about that. So what about you? What are your plans? Oh, you're getting ready to go.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to go to New York.
Oh my gosh, you're so excited.
Yeah, I am. I am actually excited.
Are you all packed? What's going on?
No, I'm not packed. I usually leave it to the last minute.
Now, are you going to pack and let your wife pack for you?
Probably let her. Maybe I'll help a little bit, you know?
Does she just do it? She doesn't even ask?
No, I mean, as far as my clothes, no, I pack my part of it. And she packs her part of it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I can't expect her to pick clothes for me, you know?
No.
That's a little too much.
I used to pick out my boyfriend's clothes.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, she definitely gets involved in buying clothes for me.
Okay, well, there you go.
Like what I wear.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I think women are like, you know, they have to take care of their man to make sure that he looks okay when he goes out, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think they see it like as a reflection on them, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. what if your wife was like slumpy and didn't ever put makeup on or something and looked like a trash bag? You'd probably be like...
That's true. Yeah.
Why don't you stay at home?
But I don't get involved in what she wears and stuff, you know? I mean, she's totally free to choose whatever she wants.
Of course. But, I mean, maybe there's something she puts on and you like it more than other stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I know when I was dating the guys with for a long time, I would pick out his clothes and then, you know, I mean, I would wear what I would wear and he didn't understand why he liked something or didn't like it. He just knew I think it's how guys are. They're very, unless they're metrosexual, but they're just very much like cavemen, and they're either turned on when they see it or they're turned off.
Yeah.
They couldn't tell you why. Oh, that belt doesn't go with that shoes. They're never going to say that. They're just going to be like, or they're going to be like, It's like, I like it, or I don't like it. I don't like it.
But men are not into shopping at all.
No, they're not.
I think that's why single men, you know, sometimes look like slobs, you know, because there's no woman to buy the clothes for them.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of slobs in L.A., though. Like, all the guys are too pretty.
You think?
Yeah, they're too pretty. Yeah.
I don't know where you hang out. But
well, I live in Hollywood. Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it. Are you close to West Hollywood?
I used to live over there, but no, I live in Hollywood, which is a little bit more indie.
Right.
It's a little bit more that, like, alternative look, which isn't that manicured. It's a little bit more that, hey, I just woke up and put on my plaid shirt and my quirky little glasses and my beard.
Yeah, that's the kind of vibe you get in Hollywood.
And a beard. I've got my writer beard on, and then it makes them look intelligent, and they're all like, it's like a reverse pretentiousness.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It's like we're so indie, but we all look the same.
Yeah.
And we have the same uniform. It's weird.
I know, it's crazy. I don't know who would even open a clothing shop for men. I mean, men don't fucking shop, you know? On the other hand, women, you know, more clothing stores than you know ever know what to do with.
Yeah, but women know what to do with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, they just need the credit card. Give me that little piece of plastic. I'll show you how to work this.
Yeah.
I'll show you how far this plastic can go.
I know a lot of women are into shoes. Are you into shoes?
I love shoes, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm
do you
definitely
have a lot of them.
I do. My aunt, like I said, that's the only thing that we can agree on are hot skanky shoes.
Really?
She does not like the clothes I wear.
Really?
No.
Why?
Because my boobs are always, you know, they're very out there, and she's always like,
she doesn't like that.
Yeah, and she's so sweet because she always tries a tactful way of telling me, and then she always tries. It's not that she tries a tactful way. She tries an undercover way of trying to get me to wear other shit. So she buys me t-shirts. Like, she bought me this t-shirt. First of all, I don't wear t-shirts unless I'm working out. But she bought me like a little white t-shirt that she thought I could wear that would be cute. And I would, of course, I'm thinking, oh, I'll wear that to work out. And she's thinking I'll wear it. And I put it on and I still had cleavage in it. And
really?
She was like, I can't believe you still have cleavage. And then it was like her plan was destroyed. She's like, you still have cleavage on this shirt.
Tell her I can't help it. You know, that's what God gave me.
Yeah, well, she's over it now. She still does it for fun, but she's not really trying to, you know. But she will. She'll be like, pull it up, cover it up. But it's funny. It's just funny.
Yeah.
Different cultures, different generations.
Yeah. What are you, like a double D or something, or bigger?
Well, Sam, really? Yeah. I have to answer that?
No.
I'm not going to answer. Because women have to have some mystery.
Yeah, but I mean, we can estimate. I would say you're at least a double D, you know?
I'm a size JK. What do you mean? Yeah.
JK.
I'm in the vicinity. I'm in the range.
Yeah.
Pretty on point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But who cares? It's all fat.
No, but you should be proud of them. I mean, people.
I mean,
love
I am, but it's like whatever. It's not like It's not the end of the world. I mean, it's not the biggest, best. It's not gonna make you fall in love. It's not gonna make you rich.
No, you'd be surprised. Some breast man.
No, I mean, I'm saying it's gonna fall. Like men are attracted, and it'll bring about sex. It's not necessarily gonna bring love.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people that like when I go back home to Texas, and I meet a lot of people that are like, or when I was in Michigan, like very dowdy, very like not thinking about what they're wearing. No makeup. The guys are looking fat and bloated, and everybody just looks wore out, and they're in freaking love.
Yeah.
They got their fanny packs on, their tennis shoes, they're eating together, they're laughing together, and they're committed to one another, and they're in love.
Yeah.
And then you come to LA where everybody looks so perfect and so skinny and so blonde or whatever. Everybody's a model. And then everybody's searching for love. Look at all the movie stars. Mm-hmm. Hot. The media is trying to tell people, look, if you just look great, if you have it all, you can have it all. And then you see all these people that they don't have it all. They yeah. have all the outside. They have the money. They have the look. And guess what? They don't even have what those dowdy people wearing the fanny packs and tennis shoes, loving on their man loving them.
Right.
Eating freaking meatloaf. They don't even have a fraction of what they have.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really big, awesome mystery.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. It makes is a mystery.
Makes me wonder. And it's interesting, too, because Sarah and I say this. Sarah's like, when I go out looking... When Sarah goes out and she doesn't have makeup on and she's kind of just slumming it and just has on tennis shoes and like whatever and she's just looking around and she looks like a bag lady, she said, believe it or not, she goes, people, I have more cool conversations when I'm dressed like this.
Really?
She's like when, and you know, she's unforgettable. She's at the size of a skyscraper.
Right.
And she's a
very tall,
very beautiful model looking. And she puts on her face and she gets on her cool outfit and her hair's done. She doesn't have the same conversations.
Mm.
And she doesn't have as much fun when it comes to that type of connection with people. It's more like, oh, she's pretty and she's either being hit on by a weird guy or people don't, maybe they're intimidated and they don't talk to her.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't have it that bad because I think my personality diffuses my looks very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm decked out, I'm quickly like, ha, 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 I'm funny. Ha, ha, yeah. ha, 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 ha. You know, don't be threatened
yeah,
by me.
Yeah, you can talk to me, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still like talky-talky, so it makes it. But I still notice a difference, too. Like when I'm, like if I went to that mixer and I had on a really pretty red dress and the girls were, you know, popped out a bit. And I could tell that even though it was eye-catching and I looked pretty, I could tell that it was alienating some of the conversations that I could have.
Really?
There's just a difference. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I love being beautiful. I love vamping it up, but I also realize everything's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's true.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It just, there is. There's a price.
So you feel you're not as accessible when you dress up and everything?
It's people, there's a stigma, there's an idea. I mean, I'm wondering if I do it, maybe subconscious. They call it unconscious bias, where sometimes you have an inclination towards somebody, you don't realize why, or you have a distaste or like you're not attracted and you don't know why.
Right.
And I'm wondering if maybe when I see really pretty people, do I automatically assume they're a bitch or do I automatically assume that they're so entitled or
right.
they're not going to be fun to talk to?
Yeah, it's what you project. You know?
I don't know what
exactly.
People see.
It's hard to know what people see. Yeah,
it is hard. And I'm always, yeah. but I'm constantly. I mean, you're seeing me right now, no makeup on,
yeah.
and all like just hanging out. But you know. What people, I'm constantly shocked at what people's impression of me is when they first meet me.
Really?
Kind of, yeah.
Is it pretty much the same?
Well, if people meet me and they don't talk to me versus when we talk.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So I'm always shocked.
Hmm.
Now, my friends that know me, they're not freaking fooled. They're like,
yeah.
oh, it's Kara, whatever.
Yeah.
And they love it. They love that I'm always like in high heels and dressed up and looking like I could be like looking like a bag lady with no makeup on or anything, but still have high heels on. And it's like a running joke.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
it's
fun. That's a way to do it.
Yeah. What are you going to have for breakfast? Did you eat breakfast?
No, I don't eat until about 1 o'clock in the
That's
afternoon.
That's awful,
I
Sam.
Know it is. I know it is. It's not very
the heck
good
are
at
you,
all.
What the heck is your problem?
I don't know. Because when I first get up in the morning, I don't really feel like eating, you know? And then we come in here, and then after this, and then I got things to do, and then before I know it, it's 1 o'clock, and then I eat. Not the end of the world. All right. Now you get to go back and finish your sleep.
I'm awake. I'm going to go eat. I'm so hungry.
Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back here live tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.